it's over here for right now. All right. Can you hear me now? Yes or no? Yeah, there we go. I think I can hear me now. It's more, maybe that was more my question. Can I hear me now? Awesome. And how is everybody finding themselves this morning? Were you able to shovel your way out of wherever you were parked? And bless the Lord, I love our city. They cleaned the street, but they didn't take the snow away. They pushed it in front of my house. So it's kind of like this getting out from parking in front of my house. Ah, yes. Well, this morning we're going to get at her. We're looking at part three of vision. And I'm going to do just speed preaching, right, Crystal? And we're going to do a quick review. And, oops, let me go the right direction, maybe. Maybe not. Okay, Betty, if you take the cursor, you know, the little big pink arrow, and move it over right onto the screen, it should help the PowerPoint move forward. Maybe? There. Okay. There we go. We're happening. Thank you so much. Like I said, this is a bit of one of those mornings where there's several of us trying to cover positions, and a few of us are green at a few things, but we're going to get there. So thank you. So we're talking about vision, and we started with, it's telling me don't go that direction. Started with the scripture, and I'm just going to read the message one, the one on the bottom. If people can't see or have a vision of what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So we have a vision because we need a vision. And our vision statement, oops, I'm just going to pop back for just a sec. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Our vision statement is something that challenges us, it fills us with hope, and gives us a clear picture. And it has a purpose. It gives us the answer to two questions. What is God asking us to do? And then how are we going to do it? We know what God asks us to do. That doesn't change. We've got a ministry, a mission, a direction, and a vision. But how we do it changes. And it changes with climate, with whatever is going on. So we just got to remember that. But now we're going to move ahead. What is our vision statement? And again, we'll look at it here. It is the vision of this church to be welcoming, worshiping community, be a welcoming, worshiping community, experiencing and sharing the enabling power of God's grace to help people become all that God desires him to be. And we've looked at welcoming, and we've looked at the enabling power of God's grace. We gave ourselves a definition of that grace, because when you took from the Strong's, it was massive. And so we broke it down into this statement. Grace is unmerited favor of God, of the power of God that works through the heart of a believer by faith. It cannot be earned, but is given as a free gift. And then we looked at two gospel stories with Jesus and the rich young ruler who said, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And it just revealed the heart of works. What good thing must I do? Versus the story of Zacchaeus, who climbed the tree to see Jesus, and his whole life was changed through the invitation of Jesus. Nothing he did except the invitation of Jesus to come. And through that was a work of grace in Zacchaeus that transformed him into a generous man that repaid back four times what he extorted from others. He became blessed to be a blessing. And Jesus' response to what had happened to Zacchaeus was salvation had come to this house. So that's where we wrapped up part two. But looking at part three, again, we're going to look at we looked at the enabling power of God's grace. But now we're going to move forward. Oh, sorry, I should have had all this up. I wasn't clicking ahead. That's my bad. We're going to look at experiencing and in sharing the enabling power of God's grace. And the reason we're looking at that, when we think of the story of Zacchaeus, we've got to realize that was before Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So there is more for us this side of the cross. And so we're going to look at that. And we're just going to touch on, and when I say touch on is, I'm not going into a deep teaching on the Holy Spirit this morning, but I want to start by reading, maybe up here, from the book of Acts. And remember, we're thinking about, experiencing and sharing the enabling power of God's grace. And we're going to read from Acts 3, verses 4 to 6 here. Peter looked straight at him. We're talking about the lame beggar at the gate beautiful. And as did John. And Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And I hope you're all familiar with that story. And if you're not, again, go to Acts 10 or Acts 3 verses 1 through 10. You'll get the whole story. Peter had something to give him, to give this lame beggar that was better than money. He had healing and wholeness to give him. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit and standing there in the authority of Jesus, gave this man what he had. When we look at Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 10, we looked at it last time. It says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." If you read it in the English Standard Version, rather than God's handiwork, we're God's craftsmanship. And that word "work" in there is the same word used in Matthew 11, 2. And I think we're going to pop up there. I forgot to move ahead here. It's in Matthew 11, 2. And this is John the Baptist. "Now, when John had heard this, in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples." Now, I'm going to stop there because we're not going to talk about what John. What were the works that John had heard about? What had he heard about the Christ? What were the works of Jesus? I am sure that he heard about him challenging the religious leaders and with the truth and stumping them in their manipulation and their games of entrapment. I'm sure that John had heard about Jesus teaching on the kingdom of God that awed the people. We've never heard teaching like this. I'm sure that he heard about the healings and the signs and wonders, about him walking on water and multiplying the food to feed thousands, turning water into wine, raising the dead. I'm sure John heard about these works of Christ. Well, this is the same word used in Ephesians that says God created us to do good works. In Timothy, and I'm just putting these up there, I'm going to read them to you. It says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in the righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Same word. Talking about Jesus and the works that he did. Jesus himself said, and we'll put this up here for you, from John 14. "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works," same word, "I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." We're going to jump down to verse 16 and 17a here. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth," the Holy Spirit. Then, again, I'll read this one to you from John 7. This is Jesus again. On the last and great day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him, that's a mouthful, believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." Again, we stand on the other side of the cross. You see, you and I have been created to do good works that God has prepared for us to do in advance. And you may be sitting there saying, "Well, Pastor Shannon, I'm not so sure what I am supposed to be doing. What good works has God prepared for me to do?" And I want us to just take a moment. I want us to focus our hearts and our thoughts on Jesus. I want to take a moment for you to receive from God a nudge from the Holy Spirit for an infilling of the Holy Spirit today. At the close of my message this morning, we're going to take a time. A few of us are going to come to the front here, and we're going to pray for you, lay hands on you, and just speak what the Lord shows us. Confirm what the Lord has shown you. So I'm just going to say, come expecting Papa, because he's good and he's holding nothing back from you. In Luke 11:11-13, it says, Jesus says this, "Which of you, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" So let's just take a minute. Just, if you need to close your eyes, not focus on what's around you, and just speak to Papa. And I just ask you to keep that focus. In 1 Corinthians 12:1-6. "Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of workings, but all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." You see, there are things given to us, given to the church, by God's grace, by God's ability. And it works in the body of the believers to build the church, to build the believers, and to build the church. Bring more into the saving knowledge of Jesus. We're going to take a look at 2 Timothy here. This is Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands." I'm just going to stop there for a minute. We recognize at some point in Timothy's life, the elders gathered around him, laid hands on him, and prayed for the gifts of the Spirit. And now Paul is reminding him to fan into flame, to stir up again those gifts. So some of us here this morning have had that happen. They've had laying on of hands, but maybe you're feeling that those gifts, we need to fan into flame, and we're going to do that. And some of you have maybe maybe never had anybody lay hands on you and pray for the gifts. And we're going to do that this morning too. And we read on, it says, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. As we look through scriptures, many, many times over, you're going to see about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and people experience them and the believers being filled and then filled again. And when we look at this word grace, I'm just going to pop up here that charisma and all the definitions for us to read through. We've already kind of read through this last time. It is the favor of God with which one receives without any merit of his own. It is a gift of divine grace, a gift of faith, knowledge, holiness, and virtue. The economy of divine grace by which the pardon of sin and eternal salvation is appointed to a sinner in consideration of the merit of Christ laid hold of by faith. Grace or gifts denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians. I'm going to say distinguishing all Christians who believe. Certain Christians and enabling them to serve the church of Christ. The reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating on their souls by the Holy Spirit. Again, I loved when I was at Bible college, Pastor or Dr. Peter Ingalls, one of our professors, said this idea of gifts comes in the word grace. It's like graceless. It's part of the power of God. It's part of Holy Spirit. But each little individual, like healing or words of knowledge or that service, if you're a person who... I'm the one that comes to me that there's many in this church had the gift of hospitality. You know, that's a service to people. I don't have that gift. I'm not sure I'm looking for it. But that's all right. I've tried. Let's put it this way. I tried. But you know what? When I'm going to say this, we have all gifts. We have the whole Holy Spirit. We have all gifts. And God will enable us, but there will always be a tendency to operate in one. But if you, let's say your gift is healing, but all of a sudden you need a prophetic word for somebody, God will do that. Okay? So we have a tendency to know one that we work in well. Anyhow, I'm not going to get into that. I said we're just touching on Holy Spirit this morning. One of the things we know that at Pentecost, there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then in Acts 4:31, it talks about after they had prayed, and who was sitting there in prayer? It was Peter and John and the rest of the group. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, just like at Pentecost. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And spoke the word of God boldly. All of them were filled again. Even John and Peter. And what I'm saying about that is, we don't want to become like what Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins. Where we get filled and we have the light and then it just goes away and we never refill. There's a refilling that can happen. And should happen. And we want to do that. as we share and experience the enabling power of God's grace together. Then there's the time where the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit, and it's talking about Paul and Barnabas. Again, this is after they've already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a refilling. So this morning, we've been talking about our vision and experiencing and sharing the enabling power of God's grace. So this morning, we're going to do that. I'm going to call up those folks that are going to be a part of our prayer teams this morning. If you want to come forward and just stand here, and we're going to pray for you. And what, if you want to come up, just pick whoever you want to come up to, and we'll pray for you, lay hands upon you, and just bless you. And if you want, tell us what it's in your heart to receive. Papa's good. He's not going to give you a scorpion. He's not going to disappoint. God is able and is willing. Jesus said, ask anything of me, and I will do it in the name of the Father. So what we have, we're going to bless you with, just like Peter did with the beggar. We have the grace of God. We have the ability and power of God. And we want to stir it up in you. And do you want to come up, Paul and Marlene, and Jamie and Ralph? And then we'll have Betty and Jim over here. And again, we're doing this so and so we're just going to call you. Come on forward. And we will lay hands on you and pray for you. Yeah, four separate groups, yeah. And just come up. And we will pray for you. I'll grab my Bible. All right. Is there anything specific here?
I'm a love God.
Okay. All right. Name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you for the outpouring of love. Your outpouring of love for Alan. Lord, just fill his heart again. And break down the walls that are preventing for him from stepping out into the fullness of the love you have for him. And I thank you, Father, that it'll continue to grow all his life, deeper and wider, higher, and further than he could possibly imagine. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, to just ask for healing over Al's body, soul, mind, and spirit, and over his heart, Lord. And just if there be any woundings or trauma from the past, Lord, you promise in Scripture you'll give us a new heart. And so we ask for that, Lord, in the places of our spirit where we've suffered disappointment and trauma in the past. I just speak healing in those places in Jesus' name, and a full and renewed capacity to love yourself, to love others, and to love God. And Father, thank you that you're going to give Al as well an outreach of that healing in terms of being able to show love to other people in ways that are meaningful and with deep perception, Lord. And we just thank you for the love that you are restoring, that the love of God would be poured out into his heart through the Holy Spirit. And he would hope, and hope would be the manifestation of that and joy in Jesus' name.
Yeah, thank you, Father. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Anything else, Al?
To have him lead me into good things.
Okay. Yes, Lord. Father, I thank you that he is a faithful son. And all of the lies of the enemy that would say otherwise, we come against him now. He is a faithful son. And so, Father, I thank you that you put a path before him. He can see the path clearly.
Yes,
I thank you, Father, for dreams and visions to start coming. Lord, that he's going to see you. He's going to see your... I'm going to shut off my my microphone. Okay, sorry, that's just. Okay, thank you for being faithful and coming forward for those of you. Father, I thank you are able to keep all that is taking place this morning in the hearts of those that came forward. Bless them, Lord. We pray for increase. And I hope that what you experience, you'll be able to share. And that is something we just will keep going. Father, thank you for all you have done. And we just bless your holy name. Thank you for those at home, Lord. We just bless you. The Holy Spirit is moving upon your heart just as well as he is here to share with you the good things of God. Father, we just want to also lift up the box of prayers at the back, even those that haven't, requests that haven't made the box, it doesn't matter. We thank you for your presence, your healing, your provision, your love. You are the God that meets all our needs. And you don't hold back. You're a good papa. And we glorify you in the name of our Lord Jesus. And all God's saints said, amen, amen, and amen. Just bless you this morning. We are going to take about, a 6-minute break. And then, is that about right, Crystal? And then Crystal's going to come and share the second session. And so we encourage you to stay for that. But there's some coffee and some goodies back there. Bless you, folks. And yes.